I believe with all of my heart we're living in the final hours of the final days. Matthew chapter 24, beginning with verse 6, Jesus said, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed." You cannot flip on the television at any given time anymore on the news and not hear something that is going on in North Korea, Afghanistan, Pakistan and India. Literally, war is going on around the globe as we speak. We're on the brink of war. As a matter of fact, I can't even remember the last time we were not in war. You know what I'm talking about? I go back to several presidents back to George Herbert Walker Bush, and we were in war then. And it's just like we've been in a constant state of war. And Jesus said, such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. How many of you women remember when you went into labor, it began with the water breaking and then there was birth pains? I remember talking Kathy through the birth of our daughter, Sarah, and I'm like, Kathy, this is a breeze. Come on, She's like, I can't stand you. Get out of this room now. But this earth is going through birth pains. The earthquakes that are going on, the tsunamis, the hurricanes, everything that's going on, there is a disruption in this world system because it's getting ready for the return of Messiah Jesus. Now, Luke gives the same passage, but he gives a few different statements that I want to share. He says there'll be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. And on the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Do you realize in a 17-day period, we had two of the worst hurricanes that have ever hit our nation? We had Hurricane Harvey that came into Houston and literally flooded the city, and they're still dealing with that and still trying to devastation, and thousands and thousands of homes were totally destroyed. And then came Hurricane Irma 1 week ago that swept through Florida, and it never has Florida seen a hurricane like this that started at the bottom with the Keys and went all the way up Florida. The brunt on the northeastern part of the eye hit our home in Lehigh Acres. I'm flying out today. I got to leave at 12:30, a bus today, and going down to check on our home. But the president of our homeowners association called me Friday night when we were at dinner just to let me know the power had come back on finally Friday. And she said, "Keith, just so you're aware, our little piece of paradise is no longer paradise." She said, "FEMA is here right now." She said, "Trees are down all over, crashed through a neighbor's house, crashed into a car. People were going down the streets in boats." And I said, "Well, how's my home?" She said, "Your home looks good." What did I quote last Sunday morning? "It shall not come nigh my dwelling." Amen? Psalm 91 works, folks. It really does. But there's never been a time in history when men feared the roaring of the sea like today. Do you realize the amount of tsunamis and typhoons and hurricanes are at an incredible rate? Something is happening in this world. And then it says this, how interesting. Men will faint from terror. Long before terrorism was ever invented, Jesus told his disciples in the last days, this is going to be one of the things that will mark the last days, is men's hearts will faint from terror. People are scared to get on the subway. People are scared to go in. When I go in a movie theater now, I check everybody out. I look around to see if anybody's there that looks suspicious. In case I got a set on him. You know what I'm talking about? When I board that airplane at 4 o'clock today, I guarantee you, I'll be looking around. See if Osama's in my cabin. Come on. People are nervous today and their hearts are fainting because of terror. Apprehensive of what is going to come on this world. And then it says, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Now, there's several verses that speak about the heavenly bodies being shaken. And I don't know if we're getting ready to experience some kind of a planetary shaking, stars falling, a meteor hitting this earth. But I think something's going to happen that's going to cause the the heavenly bodies to even shake. And then he says this, and at that time they will see the sign of the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption's drawing near. I got my sneakers on today because I'm ready. Anybody wanting Jesus to come back? I am so tired of this world. Come on, church. Do you know that I heard on the news the other day that 45% of Americans believe we're living in the last days? I'm not talking about percent of Christians. I'm talking about heathens and everybody in the country today. 45% of Americans believe that we're living in the last days. That is staggering to me. Now here we are in the year 2017, and the clock of Bible prophecy is ticking. And I believe with all of my heart, this is going to be the most significant year we've ever encountered with Bible prophecy. This could be the most significant week we've ever experienced with Bible prophecy. It's the year 2017, but for the Jewish people, it's not. For them, it's the year 5777. I remember when I studied Hebrew in the synagogue here in Rockford, they taught us how to, the calendar that they're on, and they're on a different calendar. We're on the Gregorian calendar, but they're on a lunar calendar that goes according to the moon, and their months are different. The number of days in a year is different. But for the Jews, this is the year 5777. I remember when I was studying Hebrew, can't remember what year it was, but it was 5,700 something, and they were teaching us how you take the letters of the alphabet, you write them from right to left to spell the numbers, and so for the year, there were letters of the alphabet that you would write to signify the year. I remember asking my Hebrew teacher, who was the president of the synagogue here, I said, "What does that say?" He said, "Don't say anything, Keith, that's just numbers that we write to signify the years." I said, "No, look at it, what does it say?" He said, "Tishmad. You will destroy." How interesting. All of a sudden, that year was when Israel went in and invaded Lebanon, and yet the very numbers on their calendar said, "You will destroy." We went on, and then a couple years later, it said, "Tisma," which was, you'll have peace. And it was just interesting. When you read it out, the calendar, the years were saying something to the Jewish people. Now, what's interesting about this year of 5777 is, five is the number of grace in numerology. Seven is God's perfect number. It symbolizes completion. And just as three sixes are man fully evil, Satan, the Antichrist, 666. 777 is God's number of perfection, and it's God completion, God perfection. It's a very strong number. I believe God is saying something about grace and a time being completed and getting ready to wrap up. I believe that with all of my heart. Not only are we experiencing the most divisive time in our nation, probably since the Civil War, but the nations are in turmoil. This week, was it London had another terrorist attack? It is something going on all the time. Terrorism's on the rise, and we're experiencing natural disasters like we have never seen before. See, he said in Luke 21, verse 25, there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. Remember in Genesis, it told us that God set the heavens and the sun and everything, and he put the stars there, and he put them for signs and for seasons. And so God designed the heavens to talk to man. The Jews pay attention to it. Do you know the lunar or the solar eclipse we just had on August 22nd was no accident? Do you know that God has spoken to his people by eclipses and by the stars for centuries and centuries? And they would always pay attention. When there was an eclipse like that, it meant there was going to be judgment or there was going to be war. It's even believed that possibly when Jonah went to preach to Nineveh, that on the first day of Elul, just like our August 22nd, there was a major eclipse, and it led right up until the Day of Atonement. Was God telling them 40 days, you better repent or I'm going to destroy Nineveh? And he showed it through an eclipse. People used to be terrified when the eclipse would happen. Jesus told us that there are signs. And he said, on the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Think about signs for a minute. Jesus called these events signs. What are signs for? They're to warn us about pending danger and changes in the road ahead. I believe with all of my heart, as I watched the television on August 22nd, I believe it was, when this eclipse went across, the Great American Eclipse, and people were standing out in their yards all over this country with glasses on, special glasses, looking up into the sun, I thought, you know, one day you're going to be standing there looking up in the sun, and you're going to see the sun coming back. I was at the hotel with Tariq and Angelina seeing them off back to Pakistan. And I was out there and I wanted to see it so bad. And there was a man standing out there with a welding helmet on. I didn't have any of them fancy glasses. He had a welding helmet on. I thought it was the funniest thing. I thought he was like a spaceman or something. And he said, "Hey, you want to look?" I said, "Boy, I would love to look." And he gave me his welding helmet. Here was your pastor standing out in the front of the Baymont Inn with a welding helmet looking up at the sun. And it was so incredible to see the moon pass right before the sun and it just covered it up. It was a sign. See, when he said there'll be signs of the sun and the moon and the stars, do you even stop to think that it's no accident that we recently had four blood moons? All four of them landed on Jewish high holy days that were significant about Messiah. They came during a Passover or during a Rosh Hashanah. All these were on special high holy days that these blood moons appeared. And then here we have the great solar eclipse, first one in my lifetime. I think the last one that passed through was the beginning of World War I, where we had a total solar eclipse like that. Ron was around. I wasn't around, but he was around back then. And now, this week, we have a sign in the stars. We had the sun, the eclipse, we had the moon, the four blood moons, and now here we come on Saturday, on the 23rd of September, we're going to have what has been dubbed as the Revelation 12 sign. For the first time, these planets are going to align just like is described in Revelation chapter 12, where the sign of the zodiac, the woman, and it is going to be there with Leo lion on the top and the sun at her shoulder, the moon at her feet, 12 stars at her head. It's going to be exactly like Revelation 12 says. Is that phenomenal that this is happening now? Jesus said, "You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you not be alarmed." Anybody been paying attention to Kim Jong-un lately? I wrote something on Facebook the other day. I said, with North Korea getting ready to test another missile, and they announced this in advance and everything, at what point do people in Washington, D.C. go, "I wonder if that's not a really test? How do you know it's a test or it's a real thing?" I remember being with the police department one time, somebody came out with a toy gun and drew it on one of our officers, and he shot him and he killed him. You don't know whether it's a test or whether it's a real thing. Are you with me? Jesus went on to say there'll be famines and earthquakes in various places. On September 8th, I believe it was, an 8-point earthquake rocked the coast of Mexico City, killing 61 people. It was like the worst decade in a century to hit Mexico. And I counted, just since June, there have been 34 major earthquakes in the world just since June of this year. 34. And he said there'll be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. Two major hurricanes have swept through the United States, as I said, in a period of 17 days, causing unprecedented damage. I think that would count as the men fearing the roaring of the sea. I was talking to Pete and Michelle the other day, and they fled their home to get away from Hurricane Irma. They live in Sun City, Florida, and they went up to Charleston, South Carolina, to be with Michelle's daughter there, and then it came to Charleston, and then the hurricane came there, and tornadoes were there, and they said, "Pastor Keith, we're in the closet. And it was just like, where could you go to run from it? You go all the way up the coast and then it follows up there. It's interesting to me again. The Great American Eclipse, first time in our lifetimes that a total eclipse, well, some of our lifetimes. And it's interesting to me that thing occurred. You know what day it was in the Hebrew calendar? It was August 22nd for us. But you know what day it was in the Hebrew calendar? It was Elul 1, the month of judgment, the very first day of judgment, the judgment month, where the Jews spend that whole month in repentance, leading up to the Day of Atonement, where God forgives their sins. I find it interesting that that's the day the sign appeared, the beginning of the month of repentance. Let me tell you what we need more than anything in this world is we need America called back to repentance. We need our country to change and to go back to repentance. September 23rd, and I know this is even hard to, you know, for me to understand, and it seems kind of strange when you try to look at it. I've studied the book of Revelation since I was 12 years old. I've taught it verse by verse, I don't know how many times. Revelation chapter 12 has always been a mystery to me. It doesn't fit. When you look at Revelation 12, the Bible, in the book of Revelation, he goes chronological order and he repeats it twice. He begins, going through it, and then the second time he gives it in great detail. But Revelation 12 just never seemed to fit for me because it was the woman who was clothed in the sun and the moon was at her feet and she had 12 stars above her head and she was, we always say, well, that's got to be Israel. And Israel gives birth to Jesus, the man-child, and the dragon's there to try to take him away. And I always thought that, but I thought, what's that got to do with Revelation? What's that got to do with the end time? That was a long time ago, and it just didn't seem to fit. And you know what's interesting? Is the next chapter, chapter 13, is the Antichrist comes on the scene. So chapter 12 had something to do with what happened right before the Antichrist came on the scene. And then all of a sudden, I began to read and listen to some of the astronomers and the people that have studied this. And literally on Saturday, the planets are going to align in a way they never have aligned in history. And see, I do believe that God put the zodiac and the constellations in the sky to declare His glory and to preach the gospel. The heavens declare the glory of God. That's what the Bible says. And men have perverted it like they do everything else and come up with astrology and trying to predict the future with the stars. But listen, God is the one that put those planets in there. And the only constellation in the 12 signs that rotate around the earth that we see as we go through the 12 months of the year, we see all these different constellations appearing. The only one that's a woman is Virgo. Virgo. And what's interesting is Leo, the lion, is right above her. And Leo is 9 stars. And for the first time in history, 3 planets are going to come in alignment, in direct alignment above Virgo and between Leo. And it's Venus, Mars, and Mercury, making up 12 stars above Virgo's head. And you say, Pastor Keith, that don't make sense to me. What is that? Well, then it speaks about, she's pregnant and she gives birth to a child, you know. And what's interesting is that Jupiter, right now, is in the womb of Virgo. It's like in the area that would be her belly. The planet Jupiter. Do you know that the planet Jupiter was actually referred to by many people as the planet of Messiah? And the reason they call it the planet of Messiah is a lot of people believe when the star of Bethlehem appeared, it was actually Jupiter in alignment with, I think it's Regulus was the star's name that it was with. And that alignment between the planet Jupiter and the star Regulus, it came up over the east and the wise men saw it and they followed it and it came to rest over the Christ child. How interesting. Do you know the wise men? They were watching the stars. They knew more than most Christians today that the stars were put there by God to give us signs and to let us know what He had in plan. You can actually go online and you can actually map the skies and you can back up thousands of years or go forward 1,000 years and you can see exactly the alignment of the planets. That's how they know what's going to happen. And this Saturday, these planets are going to align in that special way that is exactly as described in Revelation chapter 12. That gives me goosebumps. That gives my goosebumps goosebumps. Because would you like to know what Friday is? Friday is Rosh Hashanah. I've shared with you for years and years, and anyone that has followed my teaching, you've definitely heard me teach this. When God brought Israel into the promised land, He gave them 7 holidays. They were called moeds in Hebrew. Moed was appointment. God said, I'm setting an appointment and I'm putting it on the calendar. Take note of this. And He put 3 appointments in the spring, 1 in the summer, and 3 in the fall. And every one of them had to do with God's plan of salvation and Messiah. So the 3 in the spring, Jesus fulfilled them exactly to the day. He died at Passover as the lamb was being slain on the 14th day of Aviv, just as God had put that first feast day there. He was in the heart of the earth during the time of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, taking away our sins, paying for our sins. And then on the first day of the week, early in that morning, it was another feast. And that feast was called the Feast of First Fruits. And Jesus came out of the grave exactly on the Feast of First Fruits. And literally, God had made the Jews celebrate those holidays for centuries to show them what would happen when Messiah come. And they still missed it. And then, in the summer, the 4th feast was fulfilled that same year. What does the Bible say in Acts chapter 2? And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Holy Spirit fell upon the church. And the church was born on that day, and thousands were saved. And it fulfilled the 4th feast, but there are 3 more in the fall of the year. You see, spring is the beginning. Fall is the end. So the spring was the first coming of Jesus. The fall, 3 fall feasts will be fulfilled in His second coming. The next one is called the Feast of Trumpets or Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah in Hebrew means head of the year. So our new year is January 1st, but not for the Jews. This year it will be September 22nd. It's different every year because they're on a different calendar. So on September 22nd, it will be the head of the year, the new year. And I believe with all of my heart, when Jesus comes, there is no doubt in my mind He will come on Rosh Hashanah, filling the fifth feast, fulfilling the fifth feast, which is the Feast of Trumpets. When does the Bible say He's coming? At the sounding of the last trumpet. And on that day, when that high priest goes out as he does every year, and he takes the shofar and he goes, woo, woo, and he begins blowing that trumpet, all of a sudden, when he gets to the last toot, here comes Jesus, splitting the eastern sky, bringing all the saints of glory with Him. And that's definitely going to happen. Then a few days later, it's the Day of Atonement. Zacharias talks about that. I believe it's chapter 13. He says, on that day, Messiah will come. He'll put His foot on the Mount of Olives. It'll split in half. On that day, they will look upon Him whom they have pierced and weep for Him as one weeps for an only son. And a spirit of grace and supplication will be poured out upon the house of Israel, and all Israel will be saved. That's what Zechariah tells us. And Jesus, on that day, He will fulfill the Day of Atonement and promise, fulfilling the promise He gave to Abraham, making sure that He has kept His word and the Jews are saved on that day. Then there's one final feast. What's it called? The Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, where the Jews live in these little tents. And that's going to be when we tabernacle with Him for 1,000 years in the millennium reign. And He will fulfill every one of those feasts exactly to the day. So, if I was a pre-tribber, I'm not, but if I did believe that Jesus was coming at the beginning of the 7 years, I'd pack my bags Thursday and be ready Friday. Because this year is so significant in the fact that the sign is coming the very next day of the Revelation 12 sign. And what did I tell you Revelation 12 precedes? It precedes chapter 13, which is the Antichrist. Chapter 12, you have the Revelation 12 sign. The very next chapter, chapter 13, is the Antichrist. I believe the Antichrist is alive today. I believe I know who he is. I believe he's waiting until God opens the door and lets him do his thing. But listen, how interesting that we're in this week. I preached about this months ago. Do you remember it? I shared it with you. Here we are. And there's an anticipation and an expectation and an excitement in my heart. I can't believe I'm flying home on Rosh Hashanah on Friday. I'm just glad I'm not flying on Saturday. Now, he went on to say there'll be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, check. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and the tossing of the sea, check and double check. Then look at the last part. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world. Jesus knew it before it ever happened. Terrorism was going to strike the globe. And I believe today the number one concern on the minds of people today is what? Terrorism more than anything else. Now, what's the key to all the Bible end time prophecy? It's the state of Israel. Are you with me? Throughout the history of the world, there's only been one nation that was chosen by God and called by his people, and that is the state of Israel. And on May 14th, 1948, when Israel became a nation, God was sending a sign to the world that you just entered the last generation and that would one day see the return of Messiah. I believe those of you who are in here today, we're going to see the return of Messiah. I believe it with all of my heart. Now, the prophet Ezekiel was the one God chose to reveal his plan for the restoration of Israel in the last days. Now, I don't have a lot of time today because I got to be out of this door by 12 noon to catch a bus. But listen, I want to briefly share with you what Ezekiel saw in chronological order about God's plan for Israel in the last days. Let's look at it. First chapter is chapter 36. You don't have to turn. You can just look on the screen. I'm going to show it up here. Remember, in Matthew 24, Jesus prophesies that Jerusalem would be destroyed. And if you know your history, in 70 AD, Titus and the Romans marched into Jerusalem, and they destroyed the city, and they destroyed Israel. Israel became no longer a nation as of AD 70. They were annihilated and scattered on the face of the earth. God's chosen people were no more. They were gone. They were scattered. And yet it's prophesied that they would return to the land. God would bring them back after almost 2,000 years. But before this could ever happen, the first thing that had to happen was the land had to be restored. Everybody say the land. In Hebrew, it's called Haaretz. There's a newspaper in Jerusalem called Haaretz. It's the land. And so let's see what God said about the land. Turn with me to Ezekiel 36 or look up on the screen. It begins with my favorite word. When you see the word therefore. Okay, here we go. Therefore, prophesy concerning the land of Israel. I'm going to read a lot of scripture, so be ready. Prophesy concerning the land of Israel and say to the mountains and hills, to the ravines and the valleys, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I speak in my jealous wrath because you have suffered the scorn of the nations. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I swear with uplifted hand that the nation sounds like court, don't it? I swear with an uplifted hand that the nations around you will also suffer scorn. But you, O mountains of Israel, will produce branches and fruits for my people Israel, for they will soon come home. How many have been to Israel with me? You remember the incredible fruits and vegetables? They're like huge. The land is incredibly blessed. But you, O mountains of Israel, will produce branches and fruit for my people Israel, for they will soon come home. I am concerned for you and will look on you with favor. God smiled on the land. Now let's read on. You will be plowed and sown, and I will multiply the number of people upon you, even the whole house of Israel. You know what's amazing is, in the early days of Israel, before even Israel became a nation, God began putting on the heart of Jewish people all over the world to go back to the land. Some of them were wealthy New York citizens, and yet all of a sudden they would feel this drawing to go back to the land of Israel, to the land of their forefathers. God put it in their heart because he was bringing them back, and they began rebuilding the ruins of Israel. It's just so interesting that God said, I'm going to rebuild the ruins. Do you know today when you go to Israel, you go to the very same towns and the very same spots that the Bible speaks about. You'll go to Cana. in Galilee where the marriage took place. It's there. It's been rebuilt. All of the cities have been rebuilt that were in the Old Testament. Then he says this, I will settle people on you as in the past and will make you prosper more than before. You know what? There ain't nobody that prospers like Jewish people. A lot of people joke about it. Come on, they're jealous about it. But I mean, they can take a little of nothing and turn it into something and they just have this prosperous business. It's because God smiled on them. Are you with me? They will possess you, speaking to the land, and you will be their inheritance. You will never again deprive them of their children. Listen, you got a lot of people today who are saying, give the land back to the Palestinians. It ain't going to happen. God said right here, they will never deprive you again the land of your children. Come on, somebody. Can I tell you what's getting ready to happen? Israel's borders are going to get bigger. They're going to take over part of Jordan. They're going to take over the Sinai again down by Egypt. They're literally going to become larger because they're going to be attacked by the enemy and God's going to intervene on their behalf. Woo! Restoration of the land. God said, I'm going to make this land flourish again. See, the Turks and the Ottoman Empire had possessed Israel all the way up to 1917. They destroyed it. They burned the trees because there were tree taxes. So they went all through the land burning the trees. It was a wasteland until God began bringing people back to restore the land. Then you get chapter 37, the next chapter, chronological order. You with me? Now look at verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, Ezekiel. And he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. And he led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And he asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. And then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to those bones, these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. I would too. And as I was prophesying, there came a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. Listen to this verse. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast. Do you realize the same day Israel became a nation, they also were attacked by five Arab nations and they were immediately at war. No time to even get your army ready, but they stood up on their feet, a vast, mighty army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. I love how God interprets his own signs and his own stories. Amen. Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They said, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, O my people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. And I will put my spirit in you and you will live and I will settle you in your own land. And then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. Whoa! This happened on May 14th, 1948. And not too long ago, listen, and God brought the Jewish people back after 2,000 years of annihilation. And they became not just a nation, but a strong and mighty nation. You know what's really interesting was when you take this sign that's going to appear in Revelation 12, remember that's the day when Virgo gives birth and the planet Jupiter comes through Virgo, passes through Virgo. Well, the normal birth cycle is 9 months, right? 42 weeks, right? Come on, 40? Well, something like that. I knew I was close. It's 9 months. So some it was 42. Depends on how long you go. For an elephant, it's 12 years or whatever. So, just. But listen, back up 9 months. You know what took place 9 months before that? The UN resolution, I can't remember what it was. Was it 2334, I believe? UN resolution 2334, I think was what it was. That was the resolution that went through saying that Israel, all the area that Israel was occupying since the Six-Day War is illegal territory. And for the first time, President Obama ordered the UN delegate that they could not abstain, or they could have vetoed it. That's what it is. They could have vetoed it, but they didn't. They just didn't do anything. And they passed a resolution condemning the state of Israel on that day. 9 months before whatever's going to happen on Saturday. That's eerie to me. Because when you read the book of Joel tells us that on the day of Armageddon, when God judges the nations, he said in his word, I will judge them on that day, for they divided my land and they scattered my people. Come on. God's going to judge the world because of what they did to Israel. You literally have seen anti-Semitism rise again in the United Nations coming against Israel. And I watched the Israeli UN rep sitting there holding his Bible, standing alone on that day. Not even the United States of America. For the first time, we turned our back on Israel on that day and we didn't support them. And they stood there alone as the whole world condemned them. Now, I think something's going to happen this weekend. If it doesn't, I'm going to go, yippee! But I believe something's going to happen. Now, you say, Pastor Keith, obviously you're not a pre-tribber, so you don't believe Jesus is coming Friday or Saturday, right? No, I don't. But listen, I believe very strongly it could begin the last seven-year countdown of the Great Tribulation. Ezekiel sees his valley of dry bones. They've been scattered on the face of the earth. Millions of the Jews were burned in the furnaces of Adolf Hitler. They literally became a valley of dry bones. But God brought them back. And look what he said. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. And then they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Wow. I like that picture. That's me with the Israeli Defense Force surrounding me, protecting me while I'm in Israel. Don't I look safe? Restoration of the people. Then let's just look, while I got time, let's go ahead and go to the next chapter. What's the next chapter? You got 36, 37, obviously. Next is, look what happens next. This has not happened yet. It's getting ready to happen. Here it is. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, that's Russia, this is what the sovereign Lord says, in that day when my people Israel are living in safety, will you not take notice of it? You will come from the your place in the far north, that's Russia, you and many nations with you, all of them riding on horses, a great horde and a mighty army, and you will advance against my people Israel like a cloud that covers the land. In days to come, O Gog, I will bring you against my land so that the nations may know me when I show myself holy through you before their eyes. I don't have time to cover this chapter today, but when you study chapter 38 of Ezekiel, it's a prophecy about Russia and several nations that come with Russia, and they're going to attack this tiny little nation of Israel. You see Israel where that little green spot is, where there's a big red dot that's bigger than the green spot showing it. But look at Rosh. Look at Magog. Look at Persia, Iran. Look at Put here. Look at Sudan, Ethiopia. All these nations are going to attack this tiny little nation. Now, they look outnumbered, don't they? They're not. Because God plus anything is a majority. And they will win this war because God fights for them. Now, let's just bring this into perspective with the news from this week. I got this last night off CNN's website, and I don't know why nobody's reporting this, because right now as I speak, over 100,000 Russian troops are playing war games with another nation
And they call it Zapad 2017. It began on September 14th, and it goes all the way this week through September 20th. I think that's Wednesday. And Russia says they only have 13,000 troops. But people have documented, and they believe now that there's over 100,000 troops involved in Russia and Belarus. And for 6 days, they're undergoing these massive war games against an imaginary enemy. I was reading all about it last night. It's incredible. And I would say that since God gave us a prophecy that the next thing to be fulfilled is Russia invading Israel, when I watched this event that was not well reported at all, perhaps it was to stop any fear or panic among our citizens, but I had goosebumps. Thinking, right now we've got 100,000 Russian troops out there playing war games. What are they practicing for? An invasion of Israel. Are you hearing me, church? They're getting ready. And then the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 17 and verse 1, an oracle concerning Damascus. See, Damascus will no longer be a city, but it will become a heap of ruins. Obviously, that's not been fulfilled because Damascus is a city. What's stationed in Damascus? Russian troops, Russian MiG fighters. They're in there protecting Assad and Syria. And all these Russian troops are in Syria today. Look how close they can attack Israel. They're literally right next door now. You with me? And yet the Bible says one day Damascus will be destroyed and it'll no longer be a city. It's interesting that Friday, September 22nd, is Rosh Hashanah. Saturday, September 23rd, this week, is the Revelation 12 sign. And then Sunday, September 24th, is Rhonda Gunn. Now that ought to be some good concert, right? There's so much I could go into this morning and share with you, but I really am on a tight time schedule today, and I'm going to have to close a little early. But I just believe with all of my heart that something could happen this weekend. I don't know if Israel will enter into a war. I don't know if we're going to encounter Kim Jong-un and doing one of his crazy missile things. But I literally would be watching and waiting as we are in the last days, saints. And I believe with all of my heart, you're going to begin seeing the news play out just like that we've shared here from the Bible. We're living in the final hours before Jesus Christ returns. Somebody say amen. Amen. And amen. I just want to open